Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to a North State with no more homeless pets.
What does great pizza and ice cold beer have in common? Charlie's Tap House and Mobile Catering, of course. Charlie's Pizza, pasta, and more made from scratch with old family recipes using only the finest ingredients. Charlie's will not disappoint when you bite into the bacon spicy mambo pizza. Get ready for an experience you won't find anywhere else. Call Charlie's today to book their patio for your next birthday, baby shower, anniversary, or any other private party. Remember, everything is homemade using secret family recipes. Be sure to try their famous Sundial Steak Salad with perfectly grilled steak tossed in their homemade tomato vinaigrette dressing. Charlie's Tap House, your ultimate beer experience. Charlie's Tap House rule number one, come for the homemade pizza, stay for the beer wall. Charlie's Tap House rule number two, never stay empty-handed. Charlie's Tap House and Mobile Catering in two locations, Anderson Outlets and in Reading at the corner of Shasta and East Streets. Charlie's Tap House for dine-in, takeout, or delivery. Ask about booking their patio for your next private event. Charlie's Tap House, bringing family and friends together.
If your roof starts to leak or your floor's really squeaky, live in a money pit.
Money pit.
If your basement needs a pump or your place looks like a dump, live in a money pit.
Money pit.
Pick up the telephone, fix up your home sweet home. I'm calling 888 Money Pit.
The Money Pit is presented by RoofMax, LL Flooring, and the Angie app. Now, here are Tom and Leslie.
Coast to coast and floorboards to shingles, this is the Money Pit Home Improvement Show, on air and online at MoneyPit.com. I'm Tom Kreitler.
And I'm Leslie Segretti.
Hope you're enjoying this beautiful summer day in your home, wherever you are in this beautiful country of ours. And if you've got a home improvement project, a remodeling project, a decor project to make your home more beautiful, well, you're in the right place because we're here to do just that. We are your helper. We are your coach. We are your counselor. We can be your therapist if something goes wrong when it comes to those projects. But you got to help yourself first. If you'd like to get some tips, some advice on where to start or how to get out of a jam you're already in, you can reach out to us a couple of ways. You can pick up the phone and call us at 1-888-MONEYPIT. Or if you want a really quick response, you can go to moneypit.com, click on the microphone button, the blue microphone button, and leave us a message. We'll get back to you and may feature your question on the next show. Coming up on today's show, skylights are a great way to enjoy more of the sun all year long, but some leak a lot more than others. We're going to tell you the ones that leak the most and share a tip about the easiest way to add a skylight to your home in just 2 hours or less.
Ooh, that's a fast project. Also coming up, if you've got any furry family members, it's smart to think about which flooring types hold up best in the face of scratchy paws, accidents, even excessive shedding. So we're going to share some tips.
And they say good fences make good neighbors, but how exactly do you build a good fence? You know, like the kind you won't have to build over and over again because it gets destroyed by rot, termites, and carpenter ants? Well, we're going to have some solutions just ahead.
But first, give us a call. Let us know what you are working on. We are standing by to help you out with all of your home improvement projects. So pick up the phone, post your question, whatever it is, but reach out.
The number here is 1-888-MONEYPIT or head on over to moneypit.com, click on the blue microphone button, and leave your question right there. You can record your question and then send it right to our studio, and we'll get you into the very next show we're working on. But for now, let's get started. Leslie, who's first?
All right, we're going to help Holly in Kansas out. Seems like there's a
we now go live. We're running Colt 45's baseball with Austin White.
I replaced my old washing machine with a fancy new.
Alrighty, folks. Welcome back to another night of Reading Colt 45's baseball. It is Saturday, June 11th, and the Colts are going up against the West Coast Kings for the second time. They faced off against the Kings last night. That resulted and an 8-1 win for your Colt 45s. Isaac Horseman went 7 innings, allowing just 1 run. He had a pretty stellar performance. And those Colt 45s bats came alive, particularly in the bottom of the 5th inning, in which they scored 7 of their 8 runs. Well, right now we're having the plate meeting. The umpires and coaches are having a little discussion. Not sure what it's about. It's going a little longer than usual tonight. But that gives me a good chance to let you folks know that tonight is our annual We Back the Blue Night at Tiger Field. We are celebrating all the men and women that work so hard to keep our community safe. In our third base club VIP seating, it's going to be Danny Day, Allstate Insurance. They are celebrating a great year with some of their clients, and they want to thank you for tuning into the ball game and joining us as we cheer on the Colt 45s. They're proud to support the Reading Colt 45s and the We Back the Blue and raise money for our local K-9 program. Don't forget to call Danny Day, Allstate Insurance Agency. So with that, now we're just going to wait for this plate meeting clear up, and it looks like it's going to now. After that, we will welcome on Christlyn Bishop to sing the national anthem. Christlyn already having sung for us a couple times. She's got a great voice. Excited for her outing tonight. On the mound tonight for the Colt 45s is going to be Peyton Jeffries. It'll be his second start this season. He seems to have claimed a spot in that starting rotation for the Colt 45s. For the West Coast Kings, it's going to be Cameron Phelps. He was not in the lineup nor on the mound at any point last night, so this will be his first appearance against the Colt 45s. And just like that, we're going to go ahead and welcome on Christlyn Bishop. But I don't know if they're going to announce the lineups first or not. So now we wait.
Christlyn Bishop!
It looks like we're going to go straight to Miss Bishop. Another great rendition of the national anthem, sung again by Christlyn Bishop, and wow, that was just phenomenal. So we're going to go ahead and get the Colt 45s out onto the field, and the West Coast Kings will go in and grab the bats and get ready for the start of this ball game. I'll go ahead and give you the starting lineups for each team right now. For the Colt 45s, it's going to be Arive Camacho playing shortstop and batting in that one hole. Following him will be Kyle Norton once again at first base. Bryce Tweet in center field hitting third. It'll be Wyatt Reginato back at third base and batting in that four spot. It'll be Trey Harrison, DH in tonight, moving away from that right field position. So it'll be Blake Tweed after him. He'll be moving back into that right field spot. Jonathan Kumai playing second base. After him in that eight spot, it'll be Ethan Williams, the catcher. And it'll be Isaiah Cortez hitting in that nine spot and playing left field. So now we've got Officer Brett Leonard and his canine Otto coming out onto the field. They're going to go ahead and throw the ceremonial first pitch. And now it looks like we've got someone walking on in a full, like, armored bodysuit. And that dog, Otto, is barking. He is ready to attack. So it looks like instead of a first pitch, he's going to just go for him. There he goes. And they tackle him. There he goes. Wow. Well, I wish you folks could have seen that in person. Instead of a ceremonial first pitch, they just let that canine Otto loose. And he went and bodied that whoever's standing there behind home plate. And now he's stuck on that arm. And Officer Brett Leonard is trying to get him off and having a little bit of a difficult time there. So, well, we finally got Otto off of him, and now they're going to head back and off the field. So I'll go ahead and give you the West Coast Kings lineup as well. It's going to be Caden Peterson. We saw Caden Peterson with a little bit of relief pitching last night. He's going to be playing center field tonight. Following him in that number two spot is going to be Noah Young, the right fielder. After Noah Young, it's going to be A.C. Cabrera. He'll be playing shortstop tonight. Mateo Bellissimo will follow him at first base. It'll be Josh Rago in that designated hitter spot tonight. And following him in that number six is going to be Seth Gwynn playing left field. Number seven, we're going to have P.J. Fuentes. He'll be behind the plate, replacing Gavin Martinez from last night. It'll be Evan Bilter. I believe Bilter is going to be – I'm sorry. I think I have a little bit of a mishap here. Bilter is going to be in that designated hitter spot. I apologize. Rago is going to be playing third base tonight. So a little bit of a mistake there on my part. It'll be Mike Vina batting last for the West Coast Kings. And like I said earlier, with Cameron Phelps on the mound. So just like that, Peyton Jeffries out onto the mound to begin his warm-ups. We'll see if he can mimic that terrific performance from Isaac Horsman last night. As I had stated earlier, Horsman went seven innings, allowing just one run. And now Peyton Jeffries will look to do something similar. Now, the big story of last night was the West Coast Kings pitching. The starter, Evan Bilter, who tonight is going to be the designated hitter, he went four innings and gave up no hits through those four innings. I'm sorry. He actually went – well, no, he did go technically four innings. When we got into the fifth, he immediately gave up his first two hits of the game, then walked the next batter to load the bases. Manager Travis Wade then immediately went to the bullpen, and after that, things just fell apart. There was an immediate walk with the bases loaded that scored the first run, and then another base hit that scored a couple more. All in all, the score in that bottom of the fifth inning totaled seven runs. And with that, we're going to welcome Caden Peterson to the plate. And here's the first pitch from Jeffries. It's going to be a ground ball. The shortstop Camacho's got it easily. He'll throw on the run over to first. And we've got out number one. Nice play there from Camacho. It was a slow bouncer. He had to kind of run in on it a little bit. Leaned over, snagged it off the ground, and threw over to first on the run. So with one out, we'll bring Noah Young to the plate. He'll be playing right field once again tonight. The lefty looks and sees his first pitch. He'll swing and miss at a fastball there for strike one. Now, that's exactly what Jeffries wanted off of his first pitch of the game, just a weak ground ball over to that shortstop. Gets him a quick out. And pitch number two is going to be a high fastball. It'll miss the strike zone for ball one. And it'll be a quick 1-1 count now.
to Noah Young, the right fielder. Now here's the 1-1. That one's going to be lifted high and foul to the left side. The count will turn over to 1-2. As Young steps out and takes a deep breath before returning to the box. Now the pitch. Swung on and tapped foul. Back into the catcher, Williams. It seems like the two catchers, Mateo Mendoza and Ethan Williams, are going to be splitting even time this season. Or at least for the moment they will be. They've pretty much gone back and forth every other game, taking each other's place in the lineup. So I would imagine their performances really have been pretty similar. They've both been pretty solid with the bat and pretty solid behind the plate as well, as Young bounces another one foul over to the right side this time. But I would expect that Williams and Mendoza continue to split time unless one of their performances skyrockets or tanks within the next few games. Now another fastball. It's going to go low and inside, almost in the dirt that time, as Young looks at it for 2. It'll be a 2-2 count now, and here comes the pitch. Fastball outside, and the count is loaded. So, full count here. We've got 3-2 and an out for Noah Young. Jeffries now coming in with the pitch. High fastball. It'll miss the strike zone, 4. That was a close one, but Noah Young there having some good discipline, watching it go by for 4. So we'll have a runner on first as A.C. Cabrera, the shortstop, comes up to the plate. Jeffries now out of the stretch. He's got a quick delivery, so we'll see if Young tries to take a bag on him. That's going to be a fastball in there for 1. It'll be an 0-1 count now. Again, it's going to be Noah Young taking a modest lead at first base. Here's the pitch. Curveball driven into center field. That one is going to fall for a base hit. And Noah Young will move over and stay at second base. Just like that, the West Coast Kings are threatening here in the top of the first inning. We've got 1. Jeffries could really use a double play here to get out of this one. And Mateo Bellissimo, the first baseman for the Kings, is going to come up to bat. Bellissimo, last night, pretty quiet, 0-for-4 with 3 groundouts and a strikeout. He'll be looking to have some more productivity here tonight. And right now he's got a chance to do just that with runners on first and second and just 1. He can really do a job here. Now the pitch, almost in the dirt. Nice effort by Williams to slide over and get to that ball. It'll be a 1-0 count now to Mateo Bellissimo. Now sets up. Here comes the pitch. Swung on and lifted high and deep, foul, however, to the right side. Now Bellissimo, I believe I said it last night, he's got some power behind that swing, but well, last night, at least, he wasn't able to do much with that power. Let's see if the story changes here tonight. He's facing a 1-1 count. Again, 1, runners on first and second. Here's the pitch from Jeffries. High, up and in on the hands of Bellissimo for 2. So Jeffries now kind of falling behind in this count. He's got to work to catch up here. The pitch. Swung on and fouled back into the parking lot. And well, I believe that's where he's going to want to work Bellissimo for the rest of the night. It's a high fastball, and Bellissimo, his wheelhouse really seems to be in the lower part of that zone. He had a little bit of trouble getting to that high fastball and got under it and just was able to foul it back. Here's the pitch now. Another high fastball. Ring him up. 3. Now, that was very similar to the pitch that home plate umpire called a ball on Noah Young that gave him a walk back a couple at-bats ago. But Bellissimo maybe knowing that it was a ball earlier to Young, took it, this time, however, called a strike. So that'll bring up Josh Rego. He's going to drive one into deep left field. That ball is gone. Rego with a three-run shot, and, man, that has got to be tough for Peyton Jeffries. Jeffries was on the verge of getting out of the inning, getting out of the jam, and first pitch to Josh Rego, and Rego absolutely annihilates that one. And just like that, the Kings are up 3-0 here in the top of the first inning. So not the start the Colts wanted, but the start they've got to work with. A little bit surprising from Rego, as Rego was 0 for 3 last night. He had a ground out and a fly out. Now, here comes Seth Gwynn, who lifts one into right field. Blake Tweet's going to get under it, however. He'll make the catch out number 3. So Jeffries hanging his head a little bit as he walks back to the dugout. West Coast Kings lead the Colt 45s 3-0. And remember, folks, this game is brought to you by Parallel Tax at 1147 Hilltop Drive. Parallel Tax provides a wide range of tax-related services for both individuals and businesses, including preparing, calculating, and filing tax returns. Call Parallel Tax at 530-221-3343. So we'll head to the bottom of the first. The Colt 45s trail 3-0. They'll look to get a couple of those runs back after the break.
The popular Big Daddy Burger is back at Black Bear Diner. This massive burger sports 2 10-ounce patties and a 6-inch sesame seed bun. Add 2 onion rings, a fried egg, bacon, cheese, pickles, lettuce, tomato, mayo, and dressing. And, well, you've got a burger challenge. This month, only at Black Bear Diner on Hilltop Drive in Redding.
Black Bear Diner.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
All righty, folks. Welcome back here to Tiger Field. It's the bottom of the first inning in this matchup between the Reading Colt 45s and the West Coast Kings. If you were with us in the top of the inning, you'll know that Josh Rego hit a three-run line drive home run over the left field wall to put the Kings up 3-0. Now the Colts looking to come back, get a few runs of their own. It'll be Arive Camacho, the hot shortstop, coming out of Antelope Valley College, batting first. And by hot, I mean he is hot with the bat, folks. He's got 8 hits in his last 3 games as he drives one to the shortstop, unfortunately, in the air for out number 1. That one looked like it could be trouble, but that shortstop, AC Cabrera, just had to take one step over to snag that ball out of the air. And just like that, we'll see Kyle Norton, now the first baseman, come up to the plate. So a line out for Camacho means out number 1 for the Colt 45s as Cameron Phelps sets up for Kyle Norton here. Now the pitch. Looks like a little bit of an off speed there. It's going to fall into the strike zone for strike 1. Last night, Norton, pretty quiet. He had a sac fly and an infield single. Other than that, however, it was a couple of strikeouts and a pop out. Now he's going to watch another curveball fall into the inside part of the zone for strike 2. And just like that, Norton is off with an 0-2 count. Phelps having a solid start to the inning so far. Here comes the 0-2 delivery. Swung on and lifted into shallow left field. The shortstop Cabrera is going to go back and get under it, make the catch for out number 2. So a weak pop out there from Kyle Norton puts up the second out of the inning as the Kings look to get out of it without allowing a hit here.
Tweed.
It'll be Bryce Tweed, the center fielder out of Sac City College. We know Bryce has quite a bit of power when he's able to get a hold of that ball. Let's see if he can do something like that right now. Phelps sets up. Now he'll deliver. High fastball in the strike zone, however. Strike one. So Tweed going to take a deep breath before stepping back into the box. Now Phelps is going to shake off a couple of signs. He'll take this one. Here comes the delivery. Swung on and driven into deep right field. That ball's going. It's going. It's gone. And just like that, the Colts have given a little bit of an answer here in the bottom of the first. A long home run over the right field wall for the first run of the ball game for the Colt 45s. So, just like the Kings, in the first inning, they were close to getting shut down with two outs. But just like that, Tweed is able to get a hold of one and send it over the wall for the first run of the game for your Colt 45s. It'll bring up Wyatt Reginato, the third baseman now. He's going to watch a fastball catch the outside corner of the zone for strike one. Reginato last night made a phenomenal play at third base. Completely laid out for a lined ground ball down the third baseline. And now he's going to foul one off deep to the left side. But he completely laid out for a lined ground ball down the third baseline. Stood up immediately and practically from third base, absolutely threw a dart to the first baseman and got the out. Now he'll foul one straight into the dirt as he stays alive with two strikes. But I'll tell you, that was one of the better plays I've seen at the collegiate level in general, not just at the collegiate club level, but I mean, I would expect to see a play like that from some of your guys at Vanderbilt. Now Phelps going to set up. Here comes the pitch. Swung on and grounded sharply to the first baseman. It's going to nick off his glove to the left. And Reginato's on as the first baseman, Bellissimo, commits an error.
Regis University, number 28.
That'll bring up for us Trey Harrison, the designated hitter out of Regis University. Now, I got to tell you, Bellissimo last night also had a couple of errors, I believe. One of them that ultimately costed the Kings a couple of runs. Now, here comes the pitch. That one's going to be driven deep into center field. Center fielder going back, he will make the catch on the trot right before the warning track, and that'll be out number three. So a deep drive from Norton ends it. Bryce Tweed with the long solo shot to put the Colt 45s on the board. We'll head into the top of the second now. Kings look to extend that two-run lead, and we'll see after the break, folks.
Who do you trust to handle your taxes? Parallel Tax at 1147 Hilltop Drive understands how important trust is when it comes to filing your taxes. The professionals at Parallel Tax not only keep your private information private, they provide a wide range of tax-related services for both individuals and businesses, including preparing, calculating, and filing tax returns. Parallel Tax, 1147 Hilltop Drive. Make an appointment today by calling 530-221-3343. That's 530-221-3343.
A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Alrighty, folks. Welcome back to the top of the second inning here at Tiger Field. The Reading Colt 45s versus the West Coast Kings for the second time. And for the second consecutive inning, it'll be Peyton Jeffries. Jeffries gave up that long three-run shot last inning to Josh Rago, the third baseman. That put the Colt 45s down 3-0. Now he's going to see P.J. Fuentes, the catcher. He'll be looking to hopefully shut the rest of this Kings offense down as the night continues on. And Fuentes, on the first pitch, is going to foul one off into the right side net. It'll be no balls and a strike as Jeffries gets his sign and now delivers. It's going to be a check swing, foul ball, straight into the ground for strike two. So just like that, Jeffries gets a quick 0-2 count to Fuentes. Fuentes will look to battle back here and stay alive. Now Jeffries is going to shake off a sign. Take this one. Here's the pitch. Outside fastball. Barely misses the zone. Williams kind of held it there for a second, hoping that that umpire would maybe change his mind. It's a 1-2 count. Inside fastball this time. Clearly a ball. That one was. It'll be a 2-2 count now. Now Jeffries, 2-2 pitch. Swung on and lifted into right field. Tweed is going to go back, and he's still going back, and he'll make the catch right before the warning track. So that one didn't look too hot off the bat, but it carried a good ways out there. Still, Tweed is able to go back and make the catch pretty easily, as we will see Evan Bilter, the designated hitter, come up to bat. Bilter, the starting pitcher last night, like we said earlier, gave up zero hits through four innings, but then in the fifth, loaded the bases through a couple base hits and a walk. All of those runs ultimately scored off of the following pitchers. Now, Bilter looking at an 0-1 count. Here comes the pitch. Curveball doesn't quite catch the outside of the zone. It'll be ball one. So a ball and a strike now to Evan Bilter, the designated hitter. Here comes the pitch. Swung on, check swing, grounded weakly to the second baseman. That's Kumai. He's got it easily. Tosses it over to first for out number two. So we've got two outs here in the top of the second inning. It'll be Mike Vina hitting in the ninth spot. He's playing second base tonight. And we'll see what he can do with two outs here. Jeffries looks down and takes the sign. Here comes the pitch. Fastball in there for strike one. Vina gonna take a step out, take a little swing. Here's the pitch. Swung on, this time lifted foul over to the right side into the parking lot. Let's see if that one hits a car. It will not. It actually hit the dumpster out there. So, no balls and two strikes to Mike Vina. Jeffries takes his sign once again. Here's the pitch. Swing and a miss. Strike three. So, after giving up a three-run shot in the first, Jeffries comes back and shuts down the rest of this Kings lineup. It's, again, 3-1 in favor of the West Coast Kings as we head into the bottom of the second inning, presented to you by Parallel Tax. We'll see you after the break.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of the Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft.
Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at estategranite.com.
All righty, folks. Welcome back to the bottom of the second inning here at Tiger Field. Again, it's the Red and Gold 45s versus the West Coast Kings. Cameron Phillips back out on the mound for the second inning. He gave up a home run to Bryce Tweet in the bottom of the first. He'll be looking to shut down the rest of this Colts lineup here in the second. We'll see Blake Tweed, the brother of Bryce Tweed, come up to bat now. Blake coming out of Sac City College with his brother. The pair are, well, they're nearly identical in every way. Just about the same height, same stature. They both have long hair, flows out of the back of their hats and helmets. And they both play the outfield, Bryce in center and Blake typically in right or left. And now he's going to watch a fastball go by inside for ball one. And Blake Tweed started off with a ball. Phelps now coming set. Here's the pitch. Swung on and fouled back into the net. Phelps will get a new ball. Steps back onto the rubber. Now even in their at-bats and their approaches coming up to the plate, the Tweed brothers look extremely similar. When they step up to the box, both of them like to hold onto the bat with both hands, stick it out in front of them, look at it, and take a deep breath before stepping into the box. I mean, I'm not sure you could tell the two apart if we didn't tell you for you, or if one of them didn't bat right-handed and the other left-handed. Now, Tweed going to watch a curveball go by for called strike three, and he's sent packing back to the dugout. So we'll see Jonathan Kumai come up to the plate now. Kumai, one of those guys that really likes to crowd the plate. Here comes the 0-0 pitch. Swung on and drilled ground ball to the shortstop, who's going to fumble with it. And there will be no throw as Kumai gets on. We'll see what they're going to rule that. Oh, it looks like they're going to rule it a single as no error signal is put up on the board. It was a diving attempt from the third baseman, Rego, who missed it. It then went into the glove of the shortstop, Cabrera, who then fumbled with it and was unable to make a throw. Now it'll be Ethan Williams, the catcher. Runner Kumai goes. The throw will be not in time. And Kumai is in there with a stolen base. So Phelps now, he's dealing with a runner on second and just one out. Williams, with a base hit, could potentially score a run, minimize that two-run lead for the Kings right now. Phelps looks down, takes his sign. Looks back at the runner. Now looks back again. Here's the pitch. Bunt shown. He'll draw back. It's going to be off the shin protector of the catcher, Fuentes, and Kumai is going to make it easily over to third base. So just like that, I believe that will be ruled a pass ball. I think Williams showing bunt kind of messed with P.J. Fuentes there, blocked his vision or something because – well, it was a low pitch, but it just went right off of Fuentes' shin protector, it looked like. Nah, didn't bounce first or anything. Now Williams is going to foul one back into the net for strike two. He's facing a 1-2 count now with one out. Anything lifted into the air, into the outfield, into the deep outfield, or mid part of the outfield, could score a run here as Kumai is on third. Now there's going to be a curveball swung on and missed by Williams for strike three. So
the opportunity to score here for the Colts is starting to dwindle. It'll be Isaiah Cortez, the left fielder, back in the lineup for the first time after a couple nights of sitting out. He's coming out of CSU San Bernardino. And with two outs, he's going to watch a curveball go by, misses the inside corner for ball one. So 1-0 count. Again, Colt 45's trail the West Coast Kings 3-1 as the pitcher Phelps sets up once again. Now he'll deliver. Swung on and lifted into left field. That one's going to fall for a base hit, and Kumai's going to score. Cortez will round first and stay there. And a nice single there to score a run and minimize that Kings lead to just one here in the bottom of the second. And just like that, we'll see Arive Camacho for the second time tonight here in the bottom of the second inning. He lined out to the shortstop Cabrera in his first at-bat. Now it looks like Phelps is going to throw over to first. Cortez is back in sliding. Two outs. 3-2. Kings. Here's the pitch. Runner goes. Swung on and driven into center field for a base hit. That ball was hit so hard into center that the center fielder, Peterson, got to it very quickly and limited Cortez to stay at second base. Cortez was stealing on that pitch, so he had a great jump. If it wasn't hit so hard by Camacho, he probably could have gotten to third base. But because it was just absolutely drilled, he'll have to hold up at second. Now with two outs, we've got runners at first and second for the Colt 45s. Cal Norton got a chance to do some more damage here. Here's the pitch. Swung on and missed for strike one. Norton popped out in his first at bat. He's looking to be a little more productive here. He seemed to have a little bit of trouble recently getting under that ball. He might want to try to really focus on getting on top of it. Now Phelps is going to make a move towards second. He won't throw, however. Norton takes a dry swing, now steps back into the box. Here comes the pitch. Swung on and driven into left center. It's going to be caught, however, by the left fielder, Seth Gwynn, on the run. So a nice catch there from Seth Gwynn. Gets the pitcher Phelps out of some trouble. Still, one run given up, and that Kings lead is minimized. 3-2 Kings as we head into the top of the third. Remember, folks, this game is brought to you by Parallel Tax. And with that, we'll see you after the break.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier in all we do.
Premier Oil Change has been locally owned and operated since we opened in 2006, enjoying long-term relationships with our team members and loyal guests. Many of our team members have worked with us for over 10 years. Many of our certified technicians have logged over 30,000 oil changes, working on hundreds of different vehicle makes and models. In an ever-changing world, we strive to keep up with change with our extensive training program. It's important to the staff at Premier Oil Change that our customers' cars are well taken care of by experienced, well-trained technicians. So you can depend on your vehicle to get you and your family to your destination. Don't forget that you can earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park or our newest location in Anderson across from Roundtable. Remember, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
All righty, folks. Welcome back. It's the top of third inning here at Tiger Field in this matchup between the Reading Colt 45s and West Coast Kings. Kings lead 3-2. They'll look to extend that lead here in the top of the third as Caden Peterson, the center fielder, comes up for the second time tonight. He had a ground out in his first at-bat. He'll look to lead things off here with a hit. Right now he's going to foul one back into the parking lot. It's an 0-1 count now to start off Peterson. Jeffries is still out on the mound. He had a perfect inning in the top of the second after giving up that 3-run shot in the first. He delivers another strike to Peterson. Now the 0-2, it's going to be a high fastball for ball one. So 1-2 count. Peterson looking to stay alive here. Jeffrey's going to shake off sign. Now he'll deliver. Fouled back into the net. The count remains 1-2. So with that, Peterson going to step out, take a look at his bat, and take a deep breath. Now the pitch from Jeffries. Another high fastball. This one even higher above the zone for ball two. So Jeffries got two quick strikes on Peterson, but has now thrown a couple of balls to him to even up the count. Here's the pitch. Curveball, strike three called, and Peterson is sent back to the dugout on a beautiful curveball from Peyton Jeffries. Noah Young, the right fielder, coming back up for the second time. He walked in his first appearance tonight. Last night, Young was pretty quiet. He was 0-3 with a strikeout, line out, and a ground out. Now he'll lift one into left field. The left fielder, Cortez, running after it. He'll get under it easily and make the second out of the inning. So just like that, it looks like Jeffries is close to his second consecutive perfect inning. He'll have to face AC Cabrera, who got the first hit of the night for the Kings back in the first. He'll be looking to do something similar here. Here's the pitch. That's going to be grounded into right field for another base hit. So Cabrera is 2-for-2 on the night with a couple of singles as we see Mateo Bellissimo stride up to the plate. Bellissimo strike out in his last at-bat. He was 0-for-4 last night, so not the most worrisome hitter, I guess you could say, here for Jeffries. But still, with the runner on, he doesn't want to take this guy too lightly. Following Bellissimo on deck is going to be Josh Rago. Remember, Rago was the one who hit that line drive 3-run shot in the first inning. Now the pitch to Bellissimo is going to be bounced foul to the left side. It'll be a 0-1 count for the first baseman as Jeffries gets the ball back, now steps back up onto the rubber. He'll look down. Cabrera taking a pretty light lead off of first base. Jeffries not paying him too much attention. Here's the pitch. Swung on and driven into right field, foul. It's going to be an 0-2 count now to Mateo Bellissimo. With two outs here in the top of the third inning. Again, we've got a runner on first. The Kings lead the Colt 45s 3-2, and now Jeffries is going to throw over. Cabrera sliding in safely. He could probably get another step on that leadoff. Jeffries will set it up once again. Here's the pitch. Swung on and lifted into center field. Bryce Tweed coming in, makes the catch. So out number three. That'll send us into the bottom of the third. Colts trailing by just one run as they'll go in and grab the bats. We'll see if they can tie it up, maybe take the lead when we come back after the break, folks.
Who do you trust to handle your taxes? Parallel Tax at 1147 Hilltop Drive understands how important trust is when it comes to filing your taxes. The professionals at Parallel Tax not only keep your private information private, they provide a wide range of tax-related services for both individuals and businesses, including preparing, calculating, and filing tax returns. Parallel Tax, 1147 Hilltop Drive. Make an appointment today by calling 530-221-3343. That's 530-221-3343.
Gold Leaf Nursery is back open, and you're invited to come see for yourself why so many customers tell us how beautiful the nursery is. Locally grown plants and vegetables are on sale now. Buy any three vegetables or soil booster and get one free. Let Gold Leaf Nursery and Landscaping's contractor install beautiful dark green synthetic lawn, the best on the market. No maintenance, no water, no fertilizer. Call for your free estimate. Gold Leaf Nursery, open 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Tuesday through Saturday, closed Sunday and Monday, across from Tucker Oaks Golf Course. Gold Leaf Nursery, 6168 Churn Creek Road.
Alrighty, folks. Well, welcome back here to the bottom of the third inning at Tiger Field in this matchup between the Colt 45s and the Kings. Score here is 3-2 in favor of the Kings. They had that long home run in the first inning that put them up on the board 3-0. But the Colts have battled back in the last two innings. They scored one in the first and one in the second. Let's see if they can do something similar to tie it up here in the bottom of the third. We're going to see Bryce Tweed, who himself hit that solo shot we saw in the first inning that proved to be the first run of the game for the Colts. It was a long shot, let me tell you, into right field. Phelps might want to stay away from the strike zone here as he pitches a fastball that indeed will miss outside. So a 1-0 count to start off Bryce Tweed. Let's see if Tweed can have a repeat of his last at-bat here. That would be nice. Big boost for the Colts. Here's the pitch. That one will catch the outside corner this time for strike one. It'll be a 1-1 count to Tweed as Phelps once again steps back onto the rubber and looks down to take his sign. He'll set up now. Here comes the delivery. Curveball, swing and a miss from Tweed. Tweed was actually late on that curveball, and I think he realized it was coming into the strike zone a little too late, and then let out a huge swing in which he kind of stumbled onto home plate afterwards. So he'll be facing a 1-2 count now with no outs. Here comes the pitch. Another curveball, swing and a miss, got him. So Tweed showing the duality of man here as he launches a home run in the first but strikes out swinging in his second at-bat. That'll bring up Wyatt Reginato, the third baseman out of Folsom Lake College. Once again, Reginato reached on an error by the first baseman Bellissimo in the first inning. Let's see what he does here. Phelps setting up. Here comes the pitch. Outside fastball, way outside fastball, for ball one. So, well, I've got to say, Phelps is definitely a competent pitcher up there on the rubber. And Reginato is going to ground one to the second baseman who's got it, throws over to Bellissimo at first, and gets out number two pretty easily there. Like I was saying, Phelps, definitely a competent pitcher. He has given up one run so far in each of the innings he has performed, but he looks solid. And facing up against this really hot Colt 45's offense, you really can't blame him for those two runs. One of them coming off of the home run by Tweed. He's also had to deal with a couple of errors and mishaps by the defense, so looks like he'll be facing Trey Harrison for the second time, as Harrison lifts a foul ball over to the left side and out of play. It'll be an 0-1 count to start off Harrison. Phelps sets up. Here comes the pitch. High and outside fastball for ball one. So the count is evened up at one apiece. We've got two outs here in the bottom of the third. Phelps sets up. Here comes the pitch. Again, way outside, ball two. So a 2-1 count to Harrison. Harrison had that deep fly out in his first at-bat. Now the 2-1 pitch. Going to be a curveball. That one's going to drop right into the top of the zone for strike two. And the count is evened up once again. Two balls, two strikes. Two outs here in the bottom of the third. Colts trail by just one run.
One swing of the bat could change all that. Here comes the pitch. It's going to be high and a little outside this time. And just like that, the count is full. So, Harrison in the box once again, facing a 3-2 count. Here comes the pitch. Curveball misses the outside corner for ball four. Harrison heads on over to first with a walk. Now, I'll tell you, the middle infielders of this Kings team started to trot back into the dugout on that pitch. They thought it was strike three. However, the home plate umpire said, no, sir, and gave Harrison a walk. So Blake Tweed coming up for the second time tonight. He struck out in his first at-bat. Now with two outs, he'll be looking to get a base hit for the Colt 45s. Now he lets a big swing fly, fouls one back into the net. We'll say Blake, the brother of Bryce, has not shown quite as much power in his swing, but he does typically make contact a little more frequently, putting the ball into play a little more than his brother. Now Phelps is going to throw over. Harrison is back into first standing. But, as I said earlier, the Tweed brothers nearly indistinguishable from each other. Now Tweed's going to let a big swing fly. That ball is going back into left field. There it goes, and it's gone. Wow. So the second Tweed to have a home run tonight, and that's going to put the Colt 45s ahead 4-2 here in the bottom of the third. Wow. Now, I wasn't sure if that one was going to get out, but it absolutely does. Just barely got over the fence there, but it gets over and gives the Colt 45s a one-run lead. So let me tell you something that I find a little interesting here, folks. Bryce Tweed, in that three spot, playing center field tonight, had a home run in his first at-bat and a strikeout in his second. Now, Blake Tweed, who had a strikeout in his first at-bat, gets a home run in his second. So if you couldn't think anything could get weirder between these twins, I don't know if you'd call that a coincidence, but either way, they both have a strikeout and a home run on the night. So now Kumai up to bat for the second time. He's going to swing and miss at a fastball for strike one. Kumai had a single back in his first at-bat. Now he's going to ground one to the third baseman, Rago, who's got it, throws over to Bellissimo at first for out number three. So Phelps gives up a couple of runs once again. Colts take the lead 4-3 off of the home run from Blake Tweed. We'll see you after the break in the top of the fourth inning, folks.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
Alrighty, folks. Welcome back here to this KCNR broadcast of your Reading Colt 45s versus the West Coast Kings off of the two-run home run last inning from Blake Tweed. The Colt 45s are able to take the lead. The score is 4-3 here as we head into the top of the fourth. It's going to be Josh Rago up to bat for the second time tonight, facing Peyton Jeffries once again. Remember, Josh Rago had that long three-run shot back in the first inning. Now he's going to watch a fastball go by low for ball one. Rago was pretty quiet last night, as I said. He was 0-for-3, but tonight started things off for the Kings with a 3-run shot. And he'll be looking to do something similar here as he's facing a 2-0 count. Here's the pitch. Swung on and grounded sharply to the third baseman, Reginato, who will miss it. That was a tough play, I got to say. And Reginato just couldn't quite snag it as it bounced past him on the left side. So I think they're going to rule that a base hit. Pretty difficult play for Reginato. But it'll bring up Seth Gwynn, the left fielder, who flew out in his last at-bat. Now with no outs, he's got a chance to do a job for the West Coast Kings. He'll watch a fastball go outside for ball one. Now Jeffrey setting up, delivers. That's going to be a high fastball, but home plate umpire says it caught the top of the zone for strike one. The count's evened up here at one apiece with no outs. Jeffrey sets up. Here's the pitch. Low fastball. Looked like a strike to me and to Jeffrey's too, who kind of shakes his head. He walks back up to the rubber. Now he'll set up once again the pitch. Swung on and lifted high and foul. That's going to go back into the parking lot. Barely misses a car out there. So two balls and two strikes now to Seth Gwynn, the left fielder. Remember, we got Josh Rago over there leading off first. Here's the pitch. Curveball, strike three called. And just like that, the Colts have their first out of the inning. A high curveball. I'm not quite sure that would catch the typical strike zone, but that home plate umpire, we know he's got a pretty high zone. He's had it all night so far. So just like that, Gwynn is put away with a strikeout. Catcher P.J. Fuentes up to bat now. He's going to ground one sharply to the shortstop Camacho. Camacho throws to Kumai. Kumai to first. Got him. Double play to end the inning. So just like that, Jeffries gets out of it quick. We'll head to the bottom of the fourth. Colts look to extend that one-run lead. Remember, folks, this game is brought to you by Parallel Tax at 1147 Hilltop Drive. Give them a call at 530-221-3343. And we'll see you as the Colts try to extend their lead in the bottom of the fourth.
The official meeting of the business-to-business meeting is called to order. Business-to-business, where we always say, make every transaction a win-win-win. Our guest today is Steve Clark from Minuteman Press of Reading.
Today I'd like to talk to you about business cards.
I just get mine from this.
Don't say it. Don't do it. If you're thinking of ordering your business cards online, don't do it. Keep your business local.
But they keep her online.
No. Business cards from Minuteman Press of Reading start at just $35, and custom design services start at $29, and you keep your money local.
Hey, that's a win!
Let us at Minuteman Press of Reading take care of your business cards. Rapid turnaround time and priced right. We also do full-service direct mail and promotional products at Minuteman Press of Reading.
Call 221-0400. That's 221-0400.
For Minuteman Press of Reading, where we design, print, and promote you.
221-0400. That's 221-0400.
Minuteman Press of Reading. Call today.
Alrighty, folks. Welcome back. It's the bottom of the fourth inning here at Tiger Field. We're going to see Ethan Williams come up to the plate for the second time. He'll be facing off once again against Cameron Phelps. Phelps having a bit of a rough start here. He gave up a run in the first, a run in the second, and then two runs in that last bottom of the third inning off of that home run from Blake Tweed. We'll see if Ethan Williams can do a job here for the Colt 45s and maybe give him a chance to extend that one-run lead. Catcher out of Shasta College has a strikeout so far in this game tonight. Phelps sets up. Here's the first pitch. It's going to be a low fastball for ball one as Williams steps out but quickly steps back in. Once again, Phelps sets up. Here comes the pitch. Swung on and grounded up the middle. The shortstop Cabrera has it, throws on over to first, and gets the out. So a quick out there for the Kings. That's kind of what they needed to get Phelps a little bit of momentum here. It'll bring up Isaiah Cortez. Cortez singled in his last at-bat. And we'll be looking to do something similar. That single scored a run for the Colts. Jonathan Kumai came in from third base on that one. Now with none on, Cortez is going to watch the curveball go by in the zone for strike one. We'll see if Phelps can keep it together this inning. Shut down this Colts offense without allowing a run. That would be his first time tonight. As another curveball to Cortez is called a strike once again, almost the identical spot. Now the pitch. On the outside corner, a third straight curveball. This one, that home plate umpire is going to say, does not quite catch the zone. So it'll be a ball and two strikes as Cortez steps back into the box. Here's the delivery from Phelps. High fastball. It'll miss the zone for ball two. So a couple of balls, a couple of strikes to Isaiah Cortez with just one out here. Nobody on. The Colts lead 4-3. Here's the pitch. Swung on and missed. Strike three. So Cortez is put away. That'll bring up the top of this Colt 45's lineup. For the third time, it'll be Arive Camacho. Camacho lined out to the shortstop in his first at-bat and then had that hard drive up the middle for a single in his last one. If you remember that, that was that ball had some velocity off the bat, let me tell you. Now Phelps will set up. Here comes the pitch. Fastball low and outside. It'll get past the catcher Fuentes for ball one. Camacho's going to step out for a second. Now he'll step back in. Phelps shakes off a couple of signs. Now he takes that one. Here's the pitch. Outside fastball, ball two. So quick 2-0 to Camacho. Let's see if Phelps can catch up here. Here comes the 2-0 pitch. Swung on and fouled back into the net. Camacho kind of grimacing as he steps back out of the box. That one I don't think was a strike, but Camacho sure did want it. So he lets out a hefty swing, but isn't able to quite get a hold of it. So it'll be a 2-1 count now to Camacho. And now he's going to take a called strike off of a fastball. The count will even up at 2 apiece with 2 outs here in the bottom of the fourth. Now the 2-2 pitch. Here it comes. Curveball. It's going to hit Camacho in the back. And he's going to throw his bat over towards the dugout and stroll on over to first. Slowly, I might add. It's more of a slow walk over to first, actually. He looks to be in a little bit of pain. Not a high-velocity pitch, but Camacho took that in the worst way possible, kind of just curving his back, letting that full impact hit him squarely. Now it'll be Kyle Norton, the first baseman, up for the third time. Norton's 0-for-2 so far tonight. He popped out weakly to the shortstop in his first at-bat, then had that long fly out in his second. See if he can do something here. The pitch. Swing on and missed. Strike one. So with two outs, Norton will be facing an 0-1 count. Camacho, he's got 10 steals on the season so far. Let's see if he can get another here. And Phelps is going to throw over to first, try to check Camacho. And Camacho safely in there sliding. The count remains no balls and a strike to Kyle Norton, the first baseman. Phelps sets up. Once again, here's the pitch. High fastball. Evens up the count at one apiece. Now let me tell you, folks, down here at Tiger Field, the stands are pretty packed. This is probably the most fans I've seen in the stands so far this season. I'd estimate somewhere in the 200 or 300s. As Norton fouls one back behind the stands, it'll be a 1-2 count now with two outs. Phelps just a strike away from getting out of the inning.
So it'll be his first without allowing a run. Here comes the pitch. Runner goes. Swung on. Grounded straight back to Phelps, who will run it over and toss to Bellissimo for out number three. So the Colts are put away. That's their first inning without scoring. The score will remain 4-3 in favor of your Colt 45s. And the Kings will look to even it up when we come back in the top of the fifth.
For over 50 years, House of Realty has provided experienced and effective advice to its real estate clients. Experts in residential, commercial, and investment property, we have the knowledge and tools to assist you with all of your real estate needs. Family owned and operated since 1965, we have been an active part of the Shasta County community for generations. Please call House of Realty today at 241-8300, a reputation for excellence since 1965.
Lucky Miller's Deli and Market has moved to their new location at 2495 Athens Avenue, just north of Crown Motors and the Cypress Square Shopping Center. Choose from a tasty half-pound burger, pepperoni pizza, sandwich or hot dog with a side of fries, potato or macaroni salad, and dessert. Eat in or call 530-691-4333 to place your order or order online. Lucky Miller's Deli and Market has moved to 2495 Athens Avenue, north of Crown Motors and the Cypress Square Shopping Center, where our food speaks for itself.
Alrighty, folks. Welcome back here. It's the top of the fifth inning. Peyton Jeffrey's going to come back out on the mound. He's allowed 3 runs through 4 innings pitched so far. All 3 of those coming off of that 3-run shot from Josh Rego in the first inning. It's going to be Evan Bilter in that 8 spot as the designated hitter coming up to the plate for the second time. Bilter grounded out in his first at bat. He'll be looking to lead things off here for the Kings. Here comes the 0-0 pitch. It's going to be a check swing fouled over to the right side above the dugout. And quickly, the count turns to no balls and a strike. So an 0-1 count to Bilter. And with another fastball, he's going to foul it off again, this time soaring high into the parking lot on that right side. And just like that, it's going to be an 0-2 count. Jeffrey's now delivering once again. This one's going to be flared out into right field. It'll fall for a base hit. So Jeffrey's quick pitch strategy kind of fails him there as Bilter gets an 0-2 single to start off the inning for the Kings. Now we're going to see Vina come up to the plate for the second time. He struck out in his first plate appearance, and now he's going to watch a fastball go by a little high for ball one. Bilter taking a decent lead off of first. Jeffries comes set. Now he'll throw back over to first. No tag from Norton as Bilter is in there easily. Vina steps back into the box to count still 1-0. Here's the pitch. Swung on and grounded sharply to the shortstop, Camacho. It's going to go off Camacho's glove and bounce a few feet away. Both runners will be safe. That's got to be marked an error. Yeah, it will be marked an error on Camacho. So a rare event for Camacho in the Colt 45s. Camacho is not known to make a lot of defensive errors. He is pretty sharp over there with the glove. This time, however, it was a ground ball that kind of took a little bit of a hop when it hit the edge of the grass, and Camacho just couldn't keep his eyes on it. It went up around his shoulder, stuck up his glove, but it just nicked off the top. So that'll bring up Caden Peterson to the plate for the third time. He's hitting in that one spot. He's got a ground out and a strikeout on the night as he watches a fastball go by low for ball one. Now he'll step out and look at his third base coach for signs. Doesn't look like the coach is going to give him any signs. However, now he'll step back in. Here comes the pitch. Swung on and drilled into center field. That'll be a base hit. Runner going to round third, stay there. And the bases will be loaded now with no outs. So Jeffries has himself in a bit of a predicament. Now off the base hit from Caden Peterson. Bilter
kind of froze on that. I don't know what he was thinking. He seemed like he was about to turn back and run to second. Maybe he thought it was going to be caught on the fly. That's why he was only able to get to third. Now there's going to be a deep drive from Noah Young. Bryce Tweed going back. He'll make the catch. However, runners at second and third will advance. No! A throw from Tweed gets the runner at third. Holy cow. So a run will score. Filter comes across the plate from third to tie it up at four runs apiece. However, I believe it was Vina behind him trying to get to third on the tag is beat by a long throw, no bounce, from Bryce Tweed in center field. That was a phenomenal throw. I personally didn't think it had a chance. But Tweed shows off the arm there and gets Vina at third by just a step. That'll bring up AC Cabrera now. Cabrera watches a strike and now a fastball inside for ball one. Still just thinking about that phenomenal throw from Tweed. Like I said, I didn't think there was a chance. I didn't think he would even make an attempt. Now the runner's going to go. It's going to be a little flare right over the first baseman Norton's head for a single, and it looks like Peterson is going to slide into third on that. He had stolen, slid into second, didn't realize that AC Cabrera had hit that ball. Quickly stood up, though, saw that the ball was in the outfield, and ran on over to third. So, again, a little bit of a situation here for the Colt 45s. They've got runners at first and third, two outs. Mateo Bellissimo, who is hitless in his last five at-bats, comes up to the plate. Here comes the pitch. No, it's going to be a throw over to first. Nice stop from Norton. That one was in the dirt. So Bellissimo is still yet to see his first pitch. Here it comes now. Swung on and driven into deep left field. However, Tweed is right there, and he'll make the catch for out number three. So the Colt 45s give up a run. However, Jeffries does a good job of limiting the damage, especially with the help of Bryce Tweed and that great arm in center field. The Colts will look to break the tie now as we head into the bottom of the fifth inning. We'll see you after the break, folks.
We're here with Mortgage Matt from Megastar Financial here in Reading. Matt, what if someone has just recently purchased a home or recently financed, like a year ago?
You know, this last year has been insane. A lot of people with the work from home phenomena, there's a lot of people moving here from metropolitan areas, which has, you know, affected the supply and demand of this market. That has really boosted the value of houses. So right now, people are looking to remodel their home or consolidate debt. They're able to do that at a lower cost with a cash out refinance than they ever have in history.
Talk about the value of using a local mortgage company and why Megastar Financial.
The nice thing about us being local is our accessibility. You mean people can meet with us in a safe way, whatever people are comfortable with. We can do an application process online on our website, or we can do an application together over the phone.
Megastar Financial, America's most trusted mortgage company, located at 920 Hilltop Drive next door to Chuck E. Cheese. Call 999-9000 or get started online at megastarreading.com. NMLS 1162668.
All righty, folks. Welcome back here to the bottom of the fifth inning in this matchup between the Reading Colt 45s and West Coast Kings. Looks like it's going to be Cameron Phelps back out onto the mound for his fifth consecutive inning. In the last one, the fourth, Phelps had his first scoreless inning, gave up one in the first, one in the second, and a couple in the third. Held the Colts in the fourth, however, and now he's going to watch Bryce Tweed come up to the plate for the third time tonight. Now the matchup has been split up between this pitcher and hitter. In his first at-bat, Tweed hit that long solo shot into right field. In his second, however, Phelps won the battle by striking him out on a swing. So, here comes the first pitch of this third matchup. Swung on and tipped back into the glove of the catcher Fuentes for strike one. It'll be an 0-1 count now.
to start off Bryce Tweed. Now, I think after that home run, Tweed's a little on edge. He's trying to do something like that again. And he swung through it a couple times now, as you know, striking out in his last at-bat. This time he's going to watch a fastball dribble into the back of the backstop. It's a 1-1 count. And I just lost a couple of cards. Those flew into the stands. That's unfortunate. 1-1 count now. It's going to be a deep drive again by Tweed. And he just watches that one go. Home run number 2 for Bryce Tweed. Solo shot breaks up the tie. And there was no doubt about that one off the bat. Tweed swung, dropped the bat, and stared at it as it went across the wall. Score is now 5-4 here in the bottom of the fifth inning. And that'll bring up Wyatt Reginato. I guess you could say Tweed really just kind of pimped that ball. Like I said, he just swung, dropped the bat, and stared at it before starting his trot. Anyways, his second home run of the night, he is really on a bit of a tear here as Reginato watches a fastball go by outside for ball one. And that one got out in a hurry as well. I mean, there was not a lot of elevation behind it. It was really just a line drive shot. Now Reginato's going to foul one back behind the stands. So that's Tweed's fifth home run of the year so far. And, well, I can only imagine what his slugging percentage has to be right now. It's got to be pretty hot. Now Reginato's going to see a 1-1 pitch. Here it comes. High fastball, once again, a little too high for the strike zone. It'll be 2 balls and a strike. So with no outs here, Phelps has already given up a run. Let's see if he can limit the damage. 2 balls and a strike. Here's the pitch to Reginato. Another outside fastball. Looks like he might have crossed up the catcher Fuentes there. As that one's just going to go off the glove of Fuentes. He didn't look like he was ready for that pitch. And the count will move over to 3 balls and a strike. And just like that, Travis Wade is going to take a visit out to the mound. There's some activity in that Kings bullpen. Let's see if they make the call. Some activity in the Colt 45's bullpen as well, actually. And now they're just going to have a little bit of a conversation, it looks like. Interesting move by the manager, Wade, to come out in the middle of an at-bat. And now the umpire is going to head on out there and try to get him to break things up. Maybe get this game back on the road. He does. Now everyone's going to head back to their positions. Wade heads back to the dugout. It'll be Reginato again facing a 3-1 count with no outs, no one on here. 5-4 is the score in favor of the Colt 45s. Now Phelps going to set up. Here comes the pitch. Swung on and fouled back into the net. And the count moves full. 3 balls, 2 strikes. No outs here to Wyatt Reginato, the third baseman out of Folsom Lake College. Reginato still looking for his first hit of the past 2 games. Here comes the pitch. Swung on and missed, strike 3. So Phelps wins the battle, and that'll bring up Trey Harrison for the third time tonight. Harrison, he's got a flyout and a walk tonight. We'll see if he can get something started here for the Colt 45s after that home run from Tweed. Curveball dropped by the catcher Fuentes. However, that home plate umpire is still going to say it's a strike. It'll be an 0-1 count now to start off Harrison. Harrison, coming out of Regis University, Division II Jesuit College. He's definitely got some power behind that bat. And he shows it there with a long foul ball over to the left side. The count quickly moves to no balls and two strikes with Justin out here in the bottom of the fifth inning. Phelps going to look down and take his sign. He'll shake off a couple before taking this one. Now he sets up. Here's the pitch. Outside fastball. Looked like that almost caught the corner of the zone, but home plate umpire says no. Count will move to a ball and two strikes. Here comes the 1-2 pitch. Curveball misses the top of the zone. It'll be two balls and two strikes now with an out to Trey Harrison. Phelps, once again, going to shake off a couple of signs before taking this one. Sets up. Here comes the delivery. Swing and a miss. Strike three. So a couple of consecutive strikeouts after giving up that home run to Bryce Tweed. And that'll bring up Blake Tweed, another guy that Phelps has to worry about after that two-run shot back in the third inning. Combined, Blake and his brother, Bryce, have three home runs tonight and are responsible for the majority of this Colt 45's offense so far. Again, the score is 5-4 here in favor of the Colts, as Tweed takes a fastball in the dirt for ball one. Now Phelps will take his sign, sets up and delivers. Curveball, that one's going to catch the outside corner, and the count evens up at a ball and a strike. So Tweed now going to step out, take a deep breath. Tweed likes to crowd that plate quite a bit. Here's the 1-1 pitch. Swung on and driven into left field. That one is going to go just foul. Now, that could have been trouble for the Kings. It was a hard line drive down that third baseline. Probably would have been a double had it not gone just to the left of the foul line. Anyways, the count will become a ball and two strikes now, as Phelps is just a strike away from ending it here. Now the pitch. Swung on and fouled back into the net. So Tweed stays alive here in the bottom of the fifth with two outs. Let's see if he can make something happen. Phelps steps back up onto the rubber and looks down for his sign. He'll take the first one he sees. Now sets up. Here comes the pitch. Swing and a miss. And Fuentes is going to miss the tag. It was in the dirt, so he'll throw on over to first and gets him there. So three consecutive strikeouts after giving up the home run to Bryce Tweed. Phelps will head back into the dugout, and the Colts will come out looking to defend that one-run lead when we come back from the break in the top of the sixth inning.
If you sign up for the pitcher race, please...
Who do you trust to handle your taxes? Parallel Tax at 1147 Hilltop Drive understands how important trust is when it comes to filing your taxes. The professionals at Parallel Tax not only keep your private information private, they provide a wide range of tax-related services for both individuals and businesses, including preparing, calculating, and filing tax returns. Parallel Tax, 1147 Hilltop Drive. Make an appointment today by calling 530-221-3343. That's 530-221-3343.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Do you have a crazy schedule and can't seem to get to a class to qualify for your CCW, CCW renewal, or maybe learn to use that new firearm you just purchased? Consider a private class with NFI. Learn to shoot a handgun, rifle, shotgun, or even a BB gun. Classes are taught by an instructor that you choose on your dates and location. Give NFI a call at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and I'll see you at the range.
Premier, your friendly oil change. Premier, and all we do.
Premier Oil Change has been locally owned and operated since we opened in 2006, enjoying long-term relationships with our team members and loyal guests. Many of our team members have worked with us for over 10 years. Many of our certified technicians have logged over 30,000 oil changes, working on hundreds of different vehicle makes and models. In an ever-changing world, we strive to keep up with change. With our extensive training program, it's important to the staff at Premier Oil Change that our customers' cars are well taken care of by experienced, well-trained technicians. So you can depend on your vehicle to get you and your family to your destination. Don't forget that you can earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park or our newest location in Anderson across from Roundtable. Remember, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Premier Oil Change, home of the friendly oil change.
All righty, folks. Welcome back to Tiger Field. It's the top of the sixth inning here in this matchup between the Reading Colt 45s and West Coast Kings. Colts lead the Kings 5-4. And it looks like we're going to have a new pitcher out on the mound for the Colt 45s. It'll be David Salters, the 6'3" left-hander out of Oklahoma Baptist University, coming in for the Colts. We'll see if he can preserve this one-run lead in the top of the sixth as he warms up out there on the mound. So, Peyton Jeffries goes five innings, gives up four runs, is able to, keep the lead at least for the Colt 45s. Really a solid performance from Jeffries, just aside from that 1-3-run home run in the first that kind of plagued him for the rest of his outing. Either way, it'll be Salters now, and he'll be going up against Josh Rago, the third baseman. Remember, Rago in his first at-bat had that 3-run shot against Peyton Jeffries, and he'll be hoping for something similar as he strides up to the plate. So Salters has a formidable opponent for his first batter. Let's see if he can win the battle here. He takes the first sign he gets. Here comes the pitch. Fastball swung on and tipped back into the glove of Williams for strike one. So already Josh Rago having a hard time catching up to that fastball from Salters. Salters definitely has some real solid velocity behind that pitch. Now he's going to throw a curveball, loses control of it, and it's going to hit the back foot of Rago, and he'll stroll on over to first base. So with no outs, the Colts put a runner on here in the top of the sixth inning. He'll represent the tying run as the go-ahead run comes up to the plate. It'll be Seth Gwynn. Gwynn is 0-2 on the night. He flew out in his first at-bat and then struck out in his second. Let's see if he can do a job here. As he watches a first pitch fastball in the dirt. Nice block from Williams. It'll keep Rago on first. Rago, a big guy, not a ton of speed behind him. He's not taking a huge lead over there at first base. But now Salters is going to give him a tricky move that almost fooled him. Still, Rago able to slide back in there safely. It's a ball and no strikes to Seth Gwynn, the left fielder. Here comes the pitch. Swing and a miss. Strike one. So velocity once again beats Gwynn, just like it did Rago on his first pitch. As the count evens up at a ball and a strike. Here's the 1-1 pitch. Swung on and drilled to Camacho. Camacho makes the catch. Throws on over to first. Not in time at first. Norton makes a great play, picking that ball out of the dirt and saving an extra bag for Rago. But the Colts have their first out off of the line out from Seth Gwynn. So that'll bring up P.J. Fuentes, the catcher. Fuentes is 0-2 as well tonight. He flew out in his first at-bat, then grounded into a double play in his last one for the Colts. That was a beautiful double play that he grounded into, I might say. It was a hard ground ball to the shortstop Camacho. Camacho gave a beautiful toss to Kumai at second, who threw a strike to Norton over at first. Now here comes the 0-1 pitch. It'll be a curveball low for ball one. So Salters, he has good velocity in his fastball tonight, but he's struggling a little bit with the control over his off-speed so far. Here comes the 1-1. Swung on and drilled straight into the ground for a foul ball. That'll be strike two. It'll be a 1-2 count now with an out and a runner on first. Kings trailing 5-4. Salters sets up. Stares over at Rago on first. Now the pitch. Curveball, swing and a miss, strike three. So Salters is able to gain control of the curveball there as he fools P.J. Fuentes and draws a strikeout. It'll be Evan Bilter, the designated hitter. He's 1-for-2 tonight, coming up to the plate with two outs and a runner on first. Here comes the 0-0 pitch. Curveball, this one's going to miss low and inside for ball one. So although Salters has been having a little trouble with that curveball, he was able to really get control of it for Fuentes, drawing a swing. Even despite that lack of control that he's shown just a bit here tonight, still got a lot of great movement coming in on that curveball. As he throws a fastball, that Bilter drills foul, almost hits the on-deck batter, Vina. But the count will even up at a ball and a strike. Rayo leads off first once again. Here comes the pitch. Inside fastball, ball two. So Salters falls just a little behind in the count. The count is two balls and a strike with two outs. He'll set up now. Here comes the pitch. Curveball in the dirt, blocked by Williams. Rago thought about it, but ultimately held up. Great job there by Williams. Blocking that ball, goes right in front of him, and then he was quick to get to it. The count will move to three balls and a strike now, as Salters is going to have to battle back here. Here comes the pitch. Low in the dirt for ball four. So just like that, we've got two on here in the top of the sixth inning. As the top of the order comes up. Sorry. The last hitter in the order comes up. It'll be Mike Vina. I kind of skipped right over Vina, went to Peterson. I'm sorry about that. But it will indeed be Vina up to bat. He is 0-for-2 tonight as well. He struck out and reached on an error. Let's see what he does here with two outs and runners on first and second. He's going to take a first-pitch fastball. That'll be outside for ball one. Now we'll step back in. Salters looks down and takes his sign. Sets up. Checks back that runner on second. Nobody really holding him on tight. Here comes the pitch. Low, almost in the dirt there for ball two. So Salters now looking a little shaken with two runners on. Let's see if he can get back in a groove here and end the inning. The 2-0 pitch. Swung on and drilled straight into the ground once again for strike one. It'll be a 2-1 count now for Mike Vina. On deck is Caden Peterson, that number one spot hitter from center field. He's 1-for-3 tonight. Here comes the 2-1 pitch to Vina. High and outside fastball. And Salters now looks to be losing control of that fastball, which he was operating very well. So it looks like Williams sees that and is now going to go call time and take a trip out to the mound, have a little chat, try to calm Salters down a bit. Puts his hand on his shoulder. Maybe they're having a little bit of a heart-to-heart. Now a fist bump as Williams heads back behind the plate. Now Vina gonna step out of the box and take a big dry hack before stepping back in. Salter's looking at a 3-1 count to Vina. He's got to come back here if he doesn't want to load the bases up with two outs. Here's the pitch. In the dirt, ball four. So it looks like Salter's having a little bit of trouble with control here in the top of the sixth inning. He's got two outs, but now loads the bases off of a base hit and then a couple of walks. It'll be Caden Peterson up to bat now as he watches a first pitch fastball go by for a strike this time. So, Salters gaining control back over that fastball. He'll look down, take his sign once again, come set. No balls and a strike. Here's the pitch. Swung on and tapped foul behind the plate. And quickly, the count moves to 0-2 for Caden Peterson. And Salters is real close to getting himself out of this jam. He takes his sign and comes set now. Paying no attention to the runners. Here's the pitch. Curveball. Strike three called. Got him. So Salters gets himself out of a tough situation with the bases loaded. The score remains 5-4. Colt 45's in the lead as we head into the bottom of the sixth. Remember, folks, this game is brought to you by Parallel Tax. They provide a wide range of tax-related services for both individuals and businesses, including preparing, calculating, and filing tax returns. Parallel Tax. And we will see you in the bottom of the sixth inning.
North State Now is a magazine formatted show that airs at 6 p.m. on Thursday evenings right here on KCNR at 6 p.m. Here's the lineup. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, covering film, theater, and what's happening in the North State. The second Thursday is Heroes of the North State with your host, Michelle Slade. The third Thursday is Enjoy the Magazine and Store with your hosts, James Masada and Rhonda Alvey. The fourth Thursday is a new show called Man Up with Ted Leidy and Carl Bott. That's North State Now every Thursday night right here on KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Brought to you by ReadingCivic.com, Axiom Repertory Theater, Charlou's Tap House, Umbrella Marketing, and Tobacco and Brew.
Alrighty, folks. Welcome back. It's the bottom of the sixth inning here in this matchup between the Colt 45 and West Coast Kings. The score is 5-4. Colts looking to extend that lead as they send Jonathan Kumai up to the plate for the third time tonight. Kumai is 1-for-2 as he watches a new pitcher warm up on the mound. I'm trying to figure out who that is out there right now. I'll have that name for you shortly. It'll be number 90, Josh Futrell, up on the mound, it looks like, as Phelps comes out after five innings of work, giving up five runs. So Kumai strides up to the plate. He'll be the first one to face Futrell here tonight. Here comes the 0-0 pitch. High fastball, ball one. Boy, I ought to say, Futrell has an interesting setup there on the mound as he throws another high fastball to Kumai for ball two. He kind of separates his feet up there, so he's standing with his feet just a little further than shoulder width apart up on the mound. A little bit of a V shape. Anyway, Kumai fouls one off behind the stands. Now with a 2-1 count, he's going to drill one into left center field. That's going to be caught on a dive by the left fielder, Seth Gwynn. And that'll rob Kumai of a double. Boy, that sure was a nice hit, but an even nicer attempt from Seth Gwynn, the left fielder. He went all out for that one. putting his body on the line and making the diving snag out in left field. So it'll be one out for Ethan Williams as he comes up to the plate. Williams is 0-for-2 tonight. He struck out and grounded out, and now he's going to ground one to the second baseman who fields it cleanly and throws over to Bellissimo at first for out number two. So Williams stays hitless as we bring up Isaiah Cortez. Cortez is 1-for-2 tonight. He had an RBI single in his first at-bat, but struck out in his last one. Now with two outs, he'll be looking to start something here in the bottom of the sixth inning for the Colts. Josh Vetrell doing a good job of shutting down this Colts offense so far. Now showing bunt is Cortez, and he'll lay it down, but it's going to go foul down the third baseline. And just like that, he's got no balls and a strike. I'd be surprised if he, having alerted to the defense, his strategy will bunt again. He won't. Here comes the pitch. Swung on and driven into right field. That's going to be a base hit. And the right fielder, Noah Young, is going to get to it quickly as Cortez falls over rounding first base. It'll be two outs and a runner on first now as Cortez earns himself another single. He's 2-for-3 on the night. And we'll bring up the top of the order once again. It's Arive Camacho, 1-for-2 tonight. Runner goes, and that one's going to be fouled off back into the parking lot. So Camacho with two outs and a runner on looks to do a job. That job kind of requires a hit at this point with two outs. The Colts are leading here 5-4 in the bottom of the sixth as Fetrell throws a high fastball. That'll miss the zone for ball one. Counts evened up now at a ball and a strike with two outs. Cortez taking his lead off at first. Here comes the pitch. Runner goes. Swung on, fouled off again to the right side. This time just past that right field dugout. And so for the second time, Cortez's plan to steal second base is foiled by a foul ball from Camacho. Now with a ball and two strikes, Camacho steps in once again. Two outs, runner on first. Here comes the pitch. Runner goes once again. It's a high fastball. The throw is going to be in time. Got him. So kind of a slow, weak throw from the catcher, but still beats Cortez in plenty of time. That'll bring us to the top of the seventh inning. Colts still lead 5-4. We'll see you folks after the break.
North State Now is a magazine-formatted show that airs at 6 p.m. on Thursday evenings right here on KCNR at 6 p.m. Here's the lineup. The first Thursday is yours truly, Linda Bott, covering film, theater, and what's happening in the North State. The second Thursday is Heroes of the North State with your host, Michelle Slade. The third Thursday is Enjoy the Magazine and Store with your hosts, James Masada and Rhonda Alvey. The fourth Thursday is a new show called Man Up with Ted Leidy and Carl Bott. That's North State Now every Thursday night right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Brought to you by ReddingCivic.com, Axiom Repertory Theater, Charlou's Tap House, Umbrella Marketing, and Tobacco and Brew.
Alrighty, folks. Welcome back. It's the top of the seventh inning here at Tiger Field. It's going to be David Salters back out on the mound for the Colt 45s for his second consecutive inning. Salters loaded up the bases last inning, but got out of it with a nice strikeout. Let's see if he can continue to shut down this Kings offense. The Kings have scored four through six innings so far, as it looks like we're going to have a substitution in for Noah Young. Here comes the pitch. It'll be Noah Goley up to bat, number 48, I believe in the spot of Noah Young. He watches a fastball go by for strike one. Now he'll watch another one go by, a little low, but it'll catch the bottom of the zone for strike two. Now the 0-2 pitch from Salters. Curveball, swung on and missed, strike three. So three straight pitches puts away Noah Goley, who was in for Noah Young. That'll bring up the shortstop, AC Cabrera, who is 3-for-3 on the night, having three singles. We'll see if he can continue the hit streak here against Salters. It'll be his first time facing Salters tonight. And with one out, Salters now delivering. It's going to be a curveball. Misses way outside for ball one. So it'll be a ball and no strikes to Cabrera. Now the 1-0 pitch. Swung on and missed. That was a fastball in the zone for strike one. So the count is evened up at one apiece. We've got one out here in the top of the seventh inning. Salters now takes his sign. Here comes the pitch. Swung on and drilled to the second baseman, Kumai. Kumai's got it. Throws over to first for out number two. That was a tough play. It was a line drive that just took a single hop before reaching Kumai. Kumai does a nice job of getting his glove to it and making a clean throw over to first for the out. So Mateo Bellissimo coming out to bat for the fourth time tonight. Bellissimo's 0-for-3 on the night with a strikeout, flyout, and lineout. He is 0-for-6 in the last two games combined. Sorry, 0-for-7, actually. Let's see if he can get his first hit of the series here. It's going to be a fastball low in the dirt for ball two. Got two balls and no strikes here to Mateo Bellissimo. Now the 2-0 pitch. Curveball in the dirt for ball three. It'll be three balls and no strikes here with two outs. Here comes the 3-0 pitch. In the dirt, ball four. So Bellissimo heads on over to first on four consecutive balls for a walk. And now we will see Josh Rago come back up to the plate for the fourth time tonight. Rago, again, had that three-run shot in the first, then grounded out in his second, and then was hit by a pitch in his third at-bat. So now the umpire is going to ask for a few more baseballs before Rago steps into the box. Rago's probably one of the heftier guys in this Kings lineup. The righty standing about 6 feet, probably around 6 feet 2 inches. He swings and misses at a fastball for strike one. He's got a runner on first with two outs. It would require something big to get that run across here. Now the 0-1 pitch. It's going to be in the dirt, gets past Williams, and Bellissimo is able to reach first. Sorry, second. Easily. So it'll be a 1-1 count now to Rago. With a runner on second this time, and just like that, Rago's job got a bit easier. All he needs now is a base hit that would score a run. And he'll watch a fastball go by outside for strike two on the outside corner. Rago didn't think that one was a strike. He kind of shook his head on the call. But nonetheless, he'll be looking at a 1-2 count with two outs here. Salters comes set once again. Here's the pitch. Curveball. This one's going to be lifted high and deep to right field. It's going. The center fielder tweet back, and that one is off the wall. One run will score, and Rago's going to go in standing up to second base. I lost that ball in the darkness, but picked it up once again after it bounced off of the wall. It was in probably the deepest part of the yard out there in right center, just to the right of that dead center corner. And just like that, Josh Rago has tied up the ball game with a one-run double. That'll bring up Seth Gwynn, the left fielder. Gwynn had that tremendous catch out in left earlier tonight. He